Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Did you know Toyota of Brookhaven has sold more new vehicles the last 2 years than any other dealership in Southwest Mississippi? Come see why. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota of Brookhaven, we deliver.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between. Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. We need Robert Goulet singing that. Every now and then, that's the way we want to start the day. Good
Robert
morning.
Goulet.
Good
Great
morning.
Great mustache.
Seriously. Bad suits.
Yeah.
There was too much polyester in those years, but really good voice.
Well, and you mentioned something very funny out of the gate.
Uh-oh.
And I wanted you to actually read what came in on the text line yesterday after. It must have been like
wonderful.
Right at the end of Sports Talk. So Borky and Hey Dad must have absolutely hit the nail on the head with something. So we're going to read you, or I'm going to let Nellie read you a few of the one words that came in after the fact.
Yeah, we've told y'all that someday there's just going to be an absolute event with reading of text with no attribution.
So we have no idea what
this is about. But I can tell you that it really has a certain rhythm to it.
Yes.
Where we had to begin. There were probably others, but I'm going to start down here where I can find it. The Mailman, Pistol Pete, The Big Hurt, Iceman, Pork Chop, another one for Pistol Pete, Refrigerator Perry, Chocolate Thunder, The Sock. These are all different people.
Yeah, I'm thinking we're talking
busy
about
on a Friday afternoon. I'm having a feeling it's your favorite sports moniker.
Exactly.
But I can't honestly. We don't really know.
It could have been what they named their dog.
Exactly. Yeah. It could have been someone's voice on the phone. You know, I have no idea. But it just rolls. When you come in and you're getting ready to do a broadcast, there are a few things you have to check on, like what's working, where's everything at, you know, pull up the text line, do these and that. And when I did that this morning, Pugster, now then we're going to get some more. See?
Here we go. See?
These are dog names now.
We're going to go. We have no idea. It's a winner. Whatever that topic was.
So much fun, which is absolutely perfect. I'm glad that you began this today because today is, among other many very exciting things to celebrate, Wordsmith Day. That is a skilled user of words. And if there's anything I've learned in my life, it is that people in the deeper and deepest South use words with incredible skill. So here we are. So let's use
We even blend words, make words.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
Take variations of the words, make them our own.
You know, a lot of the best of our words, actually, which I can't think of any examples of right now, come from taking out references to the devil or to the Lord and putting in other things. You know, like land of Goshen, is things like that really are references to things we're not supposed to say. So there you have it. We do a lot of that. We also do a whole lot of shortening and colloquial localisms, is what they're actually called. Y'all used to be a colloquial localism. Now everybody's taken it up as a multiple pronoun.
It's a multiple pronoun.
But we're still the home of, you know, y'all means all.
Yeah. And it could mean one person to
some people. Today at supertalk.tv, we are going to have some firsts. I hope you will enjoy seeing the first retibido, which was in my hair earlier, and also the first hydrangea. This is the hydrangea that blooms pink on one side and blue on the other for no apparent reason. And also the eruption of the onions. For the person who sent a note in yesterday, probably is a walking onion. This particular container of onions is just some random things that I had laying around. And it does look like the way a walking onion takes off. But other onions will also, particularly some of the smaller yellow onions that you grow from bulbs, will take a little time to send out their flower. And before the flower even gets completely open, which is what this picture looks like, another piece of onion will come out the top of it. And sometimes those sprouts are very, very, very sweet. So that's what I was enjoying this week. Let's see. Debbie's Debbie from Ocean Springs is coming up first.
Well, well you know, there's a good one here.
I like that.
Yeah. the Debbie one.
She's got a good one. Don't tell secrets in the garden. You know why, of course. The potatoes have eyes. Yep, that's right. The corn has ears. And the beanstalk.
Don't worry about the giants up there, too.
You just have to worry about all that, you know. But it's some fun stuff. There's we're really a punny language set of wordsmiths, and that's some of the funniest, best stuff that we do.
I had a couple of them in my head the other day, and I'm just, you know, now you get put on the spot.
Well, of course, they'll come back to you about 10:05 this morning. Meanwhile, this is the Garden Mama Show. It is spring. So what you doing? What's growing? What's happening? We will be hearing from Mark Patrick, our dear friend, good buddy, and of course the one and only Peaches, who is, among other things, Southern Charm Garden Design Service. He's going to be calling in today. And I would tell you where from, but if I do, it'll be the other one because there's so many more plant sales this weekend and we're running them all around the metro area. So if your county's having one, for example, the Atala Farmers Market's grand opening is today in Kosciuszko. They're there from 8 to 12. And this is also the Clean Out the Greenhouse sale from our dear friend Kenneth Georgia and the FFA and CTC agriculture program up there. So if I said any of that wrong, I apologize, but I know that he's my dear friend. So he will apologize for me if need be. But anyway, go see them, too, because that's always a good bunch. Coming up in a few more days from now, the Metro Master Gardeners are having what I love to call that I wish I'd bought that plant sale. Laura calls it that, too, and it'll be on Friday the 9th at Minel Garden. So if you're anywhere and possibly can drive in, if you don't happen to live in this particular part of the world, this Minel Gardens is so beautiful. And at this time of year, it's especially charming, and you'll love the Master Gardeners. They're always a fun bunch.
I was talking to Peaches the other day about Minel Gardens, because as a kid you would pass the sign over on 220 and you know, it's Minel Gardens, sound like a beautiful. I was like, is that a first name? Is that a last name?
And it's her first name,
right? That's what I learned that, and learned an awful lot in that short conversation just about Minel Gardens and the significance that it had had on our region and the gardening world. And I thought it was fascinating. It's a hidden gem over there.
It is. And you can still book weddings there, and you can still have events, and you should, because it's beautiful. But it's tucked away. It's a lovely, lovely place. Another thing I need to tell you about, we will hear from Holiday, I think, today, from the Garden Club of Jackson and their native plant sale. Talked to them about native plants a couple of times, which we're trying to do every week because April is Native Plant Month. Okay, y'all better get used to it. We're going to do this every year, I sincerely hope. Now, let's see. Oh, and Sweet Jane lets me know that the Madison County Master Gardeners are right now at the Community Bank on Highway 51 in Madison from 8 to 12 with their sale. So everybody's got a sale coming, and we got some other stuff coming up that I hope to find out more about. If you're into African violets, and I hope you are, there's a group of African violet friends going to start meeting in South Mississippi. So I've got a date and some stuff for that. But I'm waiting on a location to let you know a little bit more about it. Okay? Okay. All of this is just many, many ways to tell you that we gardeners, you know, everything comes around. Everything changes. If you don't believe it, just stick around a little while. There was a time when gardeners would argue about one thing or another that they don't even think about arguing about anymore. Can you grow vegetables in containers? I actually went to a program once that said, no, you can't. Well, that was a long time ago, because trust me, we all know that you can now. But whether you grow in the ground or whether you grow in containers, we just want you to grow. And most gardeners have taken up that attitude. I'm happy to tell you that you need to be making your plans right now for a road trip. Or just come on downtown in Tupelo. Yes, indeed. I'll be at the depot Saturday, May 17th. Write that down. Saturday, May 17th, doing the show And I'm so, so happy. This is the opening of the Tupelo Farmers Market coming up on May 17th. I haven't been there in a number of years, and I'm very, very happy to be there. It is a wonderful market. Tupelo is a tremendous town, and my daughter's coming with me. So we're going to have a fun time and enjoy seeing all of y'all. If you have not been, the brand new depot is at 208 North Front Street in downtown Tupelo. See you on the 17th, okay? Okay. Whew. So much going on. I bet you wish you could go, Lance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd love to do that. I love Tupelo.
I do, too.
I spent a lot of time over in Tupelo. Worked over there. I had a commute over from Oxford for a while. Beautiful drive. The drive got easier as time passed.
As you get used to it.
Well, the roads got
better. And they have changed a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it went from some little two-lane stuff through Furs and those areas, which you love, but it definitely slowed you down. But once you got to little four lane, and then you kind of miss going through those little communities. You
that's
know, it's
right.
Kind of the
that's
way
right.
It works, isn't it?
You can, a lot of places you can take paths. Someone was just telling me this week, that you can go from, I don't know, the East Coast all over to here, and you can go on those blue roads on the map still. And some of them are now four lane, but it's because they don't want you to have to not pass for, 30 miles or something. So there'll be those areas where it opens up a little bit, and it's good planning, I think. That's the way the infrastructure
passing
should be.
Passing lane. Mm-hmm, you see those in Alabama in the west,
a lot of
west part. It's very helpful.
John and Madison is showing off today a ripe tomato. Congratulations. It looks lovely. That's great. Love, love, love that. And we've got some more. We've got some more jokes and some more things coming in today. We will share all of those with you. I don't see any cups except one in here. So apparently we are not celebrating Beer Pong Day, at least not right now.
Yeah, I mean, I could
not
probably.
In the,
I could keep up with it, just drinking
normally.
I can
keep score with all the rest of y'all.
Yeah, I could just drink with you while you're playing.
Yeah, I can keep score for the rest of y'all.
Do more damage that way.
I think that's probably just as dangerous for me. But at any rate, it's a game.
Fun little sport.
It's a game, and it's, one of those things. I've seen people do it with sweet tea, but I don't think they were laughing quite as hard. But anyway. Anywho, so much.
For a minute, and then the sugar wears off.
Exactly. It's a fast high, and then it's gone. There are a lot of questions that come to me at this time of year, and frankly, one of them is absolutely, can I prune my hydrangeas today? When you ask me, can I prune my hydrangeas today, my question is, what kind of hydrangeas are they, and what day is it? Because it does make a big difference. But the question comes in all year long. I wanted to just go over just a few things that are basic, okay? First of all, the most of the hydrangeas that you see are known as French hydrangeas. They're the ones that are coming into bloom now, and you'll see the first bloom on mine this today at supertalk.tv. There's also lace cap versions, but they're either mop head, which is big and round, or they're lace cap, which are the flat ones with the kind of frilly edges on them. These are big leaf hydrangeas. They bloom in May, June. Some go on a little bit longer, but mostly May and June in the south. This one really does not need to be pruned until after flowering. So many people want to do these things earlier in the year or at random, but if you just remember that probably your mom or your grandmother dried those flowers, she couldn't pick them or prune the plant to get them off of there until after flowering. So that's the time to prune those, and really just prune them to shape and take out any dead wood that you need to. The other one that we grow so much of is the panicle hydrangea. Oftentimes it's limelight, although there are other ones. I got to tell you, I love the I love names like pufferfish and bobo and pinky winky, and all of these are all paniculata hydrangeas. They're the ones that bloom in late summer. This is one you're going to prune, and if you haven't already pruned it, you probably don't want to because it has already leafed out. We prune these in late winter, so if you consider this late winter, go ahead, but it's really not. And very, very, very early spring. So if you've already seen leaves and whatnot, it's too late to prune until next year at this time if you want the flowers. If you just want to grow a nice bush, go ahead, and you may or may not get flowers, all right? That's the main difference. But we also now grow oak leaf hydrangeas, and they are barely pruned at all. They're just primarily to take out any damaged wood. So you have your choices. Prune your big hydrangeas, big leaf hydrangeas, round-headed ones, and lace caps after they bloom. Prune the ones that bloom in the summer the following winter, and make sure when you go to prune the oak leaves that you're doing it that's necessary and not extra stuff. Okay? That's the hydrangea scoop for today. I'm always amazed at the folks who are interested in growing some plants. And sometimes it's people that know a whole lot about a lot of other things, and sometimes it's not. I was really tickled to have someone send me a question. Just this story popped up, and immediately somebody sent me a question and said, "What did they eat?" Well, that's a good question, because we're talking about a mosasaur. A mosasaur, mm-hmm. That's right. I hope that you know about this. Reporting in the Smithsonian Journal, the folks, I love this, it's a sea monster, the remains in Mississippi, likely the largest mosasaur ever identified in the state, and this thing must have been 30 feet long, okay? The shallow seas that covered Mississippi 60 million and plus years ago were home to all sorts of aquatic life. That's why we have so many fossils. If you haven't tuned into that, you really should, because this is an amazing place. But geologists were studying rock layers. East Central Mississippi, that's around Starkville, something was sticking out. They pulled it out, and they knew it was weird. It was huge, more than 7 inches wide. A vertebrae more than 7 inches wide. So everybody was very excited about it. And there's a lot of other things, of course, that they find, but this is a particularly stunning one, and one that reminds us that we do need to look into our past. We need to pay attention to what was here. Do you know that the traditional Canna indica, the actual species from which all of the beautiful canna lilies come, was here that long ago? Okay. It was also one of those things. It was one of the plants that survived when the waters were here, because this was a very shallow sea in this part of the earth at that time, the Cretaceous era. But later on, it became dry, limestoney, and the cannas didn't really care. They just kept growing. So when we see Canna indica, we are seeing that traditional ancient plant and very, very simple flower. But it's lovely, and if you like it, you like it. If you like the big fancy flowered-headed ones, be glad that the other one existed, because that's their mama. If they hadn't, it wouldn't have been here. It's really a wonderful, wonderful plant. We live in such a cool part of the world. The Deep South can grow more, can do more, and has the nicest people. By the way, practice some kindness today. Be nice to somebody you don't like. I think that's always a good idea. It could even be me. You could be nice to me if you don't like me. Give me a call. I'm the Garden Mom, and we'll be right back.
When it comes to returning money to Mississippians, Treasurer David McRae is on a roll. He's already returned hundreds of millions of dollars in unclaimed money to Mississippians through the Treasury's Unclaimed Money Program. Now he's refocused the state's college savings initiatives, MAX and Impact, to emphasize technical, trade, and teacher-focused careers, jobs, and skills Mississippi needs. Don't let another day go by without getting a jumpstart on a career or getting back the money that's yours. Visit Treasurer David McRae, treasury.ms.gov.
Propane uses for residential include cooking, heating, gas logs, outdoor products, water heaters, landscaping, and manufactured housing. Propane is a trusted, reliable source of energy that is used year-round by more than 60 million Americans. Visit mspropane.com to learn more. Energy for everyone. Propane. That's mspropane.com.
You know you do. Now, I have been to Tupelo, and I'll be there on Saturday, May the 17th, doing this program for the opening of the Tupelo Farmers Depot. Y'all, come on now.
That's going to be fun.
I miss Tupelo. I miss y'all. Such a fun event, and quite frankly, such a great road trip for me. So I'm really happy. Thanks so much to everybody for working this all out, the folks at Main Street, our darling SuperTalk Kim, and, of course, everybody here at the home base that makes all the arrangements. And, yes, Gary will be there. So for those of you who actually come to see Gary, I understand completely. I'm pretty looking pretty forward to that, too. I really like this. Is this a weed that will flower? It's a picture from Randy in Starfield. We're not going to put it up on the TV, I promise. Here's the deal. If a plant does not flower, it does not make seed, therefore it does not reproduce. So 99 and 44, 100% of plants do flower. A weed is a plant that you don't want where it happens to be growing. That's why if you're the lonely little petunia in the onion patch, you can be as beautiful a flower as you've ever seen, but the onion grower is not really interested in having you there, so you become a weed in that circumstance, okay? So I'm thinking this is probably ironweed, maybe goldenrod. They all kind of look like this at this stage. It's not an aster. It most likely is going to be one of my very, very favorites, which is pokeweed or pokeberry. It comes up and ends up having purple berries on it because the leaves just look wide enough that it could be growing into that. And that's one of the plants that I think is wonderful. The birds love it when it's in berry a little bit toward the end of the summer. And then I like to pull it out if you don't want it to spread, because it will spread. The seeds will, just about every one of them will come up, so you don't want it to be all over the place. But it's a lovely plant, very healthy. If you don't want it there, now's the time to move it.
I had this conversation with Richard Cross the other day when we were talking about weeds. Mm-hmm. You know, he was talking about weeding and everything. I said, weeds are, you ask Garden Mama, a weed for you may not be a weed for someone else. That's mm-hmm. It's just really mm-hmm. a plant that kind of gets in the way of what you're wanting to accomplish.
Yeah. Well, and because we do so much monocropping in this country, that is to say we plant fields of one thing, we've come to understand a weed is a plant we don't want.
Right.
And so it kind of translates over into everything else. But it's actually just a plant that you, the gardener, don't want right there.
That's right.
So that's all it is. It's a designation. That's why so many things are.
It's a term of endearment.
Spider wart, you know, sneeze weed.
Yeah.
I mean, it has a lot of
good. It comes with great names, honestly.
It does make a lot of good ones.
Once we get into the naming of people, you know, you've had people named Jasmine and,
sure.
and all the fun Rose. But when we get into sneeze weed and
that's a whole nother,
that's a whole other yeah, world of fun that we're going to have with names.
We will. I'm sure that there actually are people. You know, plants are named for people. Like Diefenbachia is named for a man named Rudolf Diefenbach. Well, and you think, well, Diefenbach, I mean, it's bad enough it's a plant name, but you have to live with that, learn to spell it as a child. It's a terrible
thing. Helps you with your spelling, I'm sure. If yeah. you like plants, you've got to learn to spell.
Yeah, or try.
Or try.
Yeah.
Turns into a lot of writers, I can imagine. Like, well, if I can get these plant words, I can get these other words. They're a lot easier.
The funniest thing for a garden writer, late at night after a little bit more dinner and perhaps libations than we should have, there will always be that discussion about that one editor that refused to allow any scientific names of plants to be in the article. And you had researched all of them, and there were 25. And for space, they took every one of them out.
Right, no, we're not doing that.
We're not doing
that costs
that.
Money.
Nobody cares about those. And it's true. Nobody except those who do. It's just give us a descriptive name. So, but that's why there's so many things in that called butterfly weed. We have a beautiful picture today of one from Proven Winners, which is the Buddleia, but those are called butterfly bushes. Well, so is Asclepias called butterfly. So anyway, there's a whole bunch of things. What is that? Rohitha? Yeah, that one also is called butterfly plant. But that's because the butterflies are attracted to them. Butterflies don't care what we call them. We're just trying to sort them out. And that's how that all ends up happening, I think. I'm asking for a different picture of the pear tree. That is, it looks like it might be a chrysalis, or it's something growing on there, and I can't see it because I can't get the picture big enough in this particular computer. So I've asked him to send that one again. Garlic harvest in zone 8, looking good, out by the Ross Barnett Reservoir, so that's nice. I like that. I like having all of those. I like when y'all send me the firsts of those things like that. This is, you know, we got the first garlic, the first hydrangea, the first this, the first that. So let's see. In early spring, I think this means, we cut back overgrown muscadines. They seem to be coming on well, but they have a round bug on the back of the leaves. It looks like a ladybug, but smaller. Can you put mulch leaves under the vines to keep down the grass, or will that promote bugs? If you have some composted leaves, you can certainly use it as a mulch. The best thing for the bugs, if you were trying to encourage them, would be to let all of those plants that you don't necessarily like or want grow under the vines of the grapes, because they will not only take all of the nutrients that the grapes need to be getting, presumably you're fertilizing them, but they will also provide more places for the bugs to hide. So I would look and try, and you can send me a picture of the bug, or you can just look up what it might be and see whether it's a friend or foe, and at that point you'll know. But I like to keep it mowed underneath the vines, and if you can mulch it, that would be very helpful. I think it's about an inch. You don't have to put any more than that. Okay. Let's see. Woke up the other day. I don't know what, I can't see what the problem is. I'm sorry. It's probably me. Send that picture of the crepe myrtle to mamaonair@yahoo.com, and I'll look at it here at the break. Or just tell me, give me a little more information about what it looks like. If the trunks are black, we're looking at crepe myrtle bark scale. If that's not the problem, I need to see a picture of what is, okay? It's not that I'm getting blind. It's just that I can't blow this one up any bigger on this computer.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It looks like to me it's where the knot is that she's trying to reference out of the three pictures we got. It looks like there's the knot about, you know, shoulder head high up there. Yeah. I think that's what we're focusing on, but I can't see.
I don't know what's growing on it. Yeah, I don't know if that's just leaves sprouting at the knot. I mean, I can see that, but you will have proliferation. And so let me talk about that for just a moment, because you will have proliferation if you prune the crepe myrtle when it's not completely dormant or when it's beginning to leaf out. Just like anything else, you know, if you cut my hair, it's going to try to grow. That's the ideal, is that you cut the plant back and it starts to grow. But since we're trying to control the growth, that's why we prune it when it's dormant. Now, it could be that fertilizer conditions, growing conditions were just too good. All those things just worked out too well, and so therefore you're getting that proliferation. But if it's something else, I can't see what it is. It just looks to me like the knot has sprouted, and she may not have expected that to happen. Help me out, because I can't tell. Okay.
Yeah, that's all I'm seeing. I'm trying to.
I'm looking at proliferating growth, but there's probably something else. I love Ken. Amaryllis is being dramatic. That's true. They are. I saw the coolest thing yesterday, and if I believed it, I would do it. I may have to. You know, I always talk to you about when your amaryllis finishes blooming, you can plant it in the garden in the springtime, or you can rebloom it in the pot by simply laying the pot on its side so that it rests for about 6 weeks or so, and then you'll see that the leaves are all browned out, and the top will begin to sprout just a little bit, and you pick it back up, start watering it and fertilizing it. Well, at that point, this particular gardener person cut the bottom of the amaryllis to wound it more. Cut it in quarters, okay, and spread them a little bit and replanted it, and ended up with 8 bulbs, because each one of those then in turn sprouted, and it made a beautiful huge pot of amaryllis. I don't know if that would work, but it sure is tempting. If you've done that, let me know. Send me a phone call. Send me a text. Give me a phone call. Send me a text. We would love to hear about all that, because amaryllis can be very dramatic. We were talking about that at somebody's house. She has collected them over the years, and it's just fun. Fun to watch. Fun to see all of that. So many people now, this is another thing that goes on at this point in the year, I'm happy to say, because I like it myself. A lot of folks really, really do want to grow cut flowers. Now, you may be the person that just wants to be able to fill the vase with flowers that are going to last a good long time, or you may be the person that wants to grow cut flowers for church or for a civic organization that you meet with regularly. You may want to grow cut flowers because you'd like to make some money out of the side yard. You know what I'm saying? It's all different reasons. You may want to start a farm. But in any case, Flower Growers of Mississippi is somebody that you should be associated with. So look them up on the social medias. And by all means, let me give you a few little ideas if you're thinking about it, about what to start with. And the first thing to start with is your site. If you want to grow cut flowers, you really do need to pick a site that is just about full sun for almost everything. Now, that sounds like a very wishy-washy statement. That's because you may decide you're only going to grow the green part. You're going to grow aspidistral leaves. You're going to grow holly. You're going to grow those kinds of things. You can grow that in the shade, cut them, condition them, and they'll be just as valuable in the cut flower world as many flowers are. But if you want to grow flowers for production with stiff stems that are going to last a long time in the vase, you need a full sun site, at least 6 hours, maybe a little bit more. If you want to use the native soil all by itself, that's fine, but test its drainage before you start planting. Especially if something else has ever grown there, it's probably going to be fine for the first year or so. But if you're looking at growing in a space, maybe you used to have vegetables and now you're going to change to cut flowers. Maybe you had something else growing there, shrubs and things, and now you've decided you want to grow cut flowers. I suggest that when you take that bed apart, go ahead and get a soil test because it will tell you if you need more nutrients, but you may not. You don't want to overfeed these. One of the big points about growing cut flowers is that we grow them lean. That is to say, we grow them with enough fertilizer, enough nutrition, but not too much. We don't want wimpy stems, and we don't want flowers that open up really fast and then drop off. So we're trying to grow a very thrifty, very densely celled plant. That's how we're working on that. Now, one of the things that you really do want to work on at this particular point in time is gathering all the seeds that you would need to the end of the year. For example, if you want to plant zinnias weekly or if you want to plant sunflowers twice between now and September, you're going to need to know how many seed to get and where to buy them. There's a whole lot of references for that. Johnny Select Seed has good ones, but you can also get in touch with Flower Growers of Mississippi. Everybody there will help you a lot. It's going to take about 12 weeks, maybe 10 or 12, from sprouting to harvest. So if you plant weekly, for example, if you're planting zinnias, let's say, you're planting them this week and next week and the week after, you're going to be harvesting them in succession down the way too. So give yourself an opportunity to use them as you will. I have a couple of other suggestions about cut flowers, but get in touch with me if you want to talk more about it. Oh, here we go. Hey, Derek. Good morning. Derek rescued four poinsettias off the dollar rack in January. I know that's you. He kept them alive and moved them outside on the patio. How much sun and water do they need to make it until winter? I hope that you are able to see supertalk.tv because Paul the poinsettia, who's my six-year-old poinsettia that came to me as a gift and has grown continuously since then, at this point in time, you really are giving them at least half a day of sun. A little bit more is even better. But you've also got to be sure that the container they're in is not the same one they were growing in last year. They're going to need a slightly larger pot, and they're going to need to be regularly fertilized and watered. This is the grow, grow, grow time. We're going to grow those poinsettias now, get them to be as dense and leafy as possible so that when it gets to fall, we can bring on some beautiful, beautiful tops, either red or white or whatever color the bracts might be on that particular plant. But it's wonderful to hear from you. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. That's great. Here's another. These are some beautiful, beautiful lilies. I'm going to think that these are. They're in Van Cleve. I think these are Easter lilies because if they were Formosa lilies, they'd be twice that tall. Formosas bloom a little bit later too. These are beautiful. Really, really beautiful. Thank you, Bonnie. Appreciate that. So, so pretty. I tell you what, our jokesters are weighing in today. Did you find this one, George Strait's favorite song?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I've got it. That's actually what we're going out with.
Are we going to go out with that?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I did that.
It's not Amaryllis by morning, but okay.
Amaryllis by morning.
We got a whole book of these, friends. Y'all just, you have no idea how you're playing into our wheelhouse this morning. Thank you so much. Now we'll let George sing us out of here because we got a whole lot more to do this morning. This is the Garden Mama Show.
I'm a riddle by morning. I'm a riddle, I'll be there.
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Thank you, and drive safely.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
Hi, I'm Jock.
Keep a wearing your grease lips. Across your heart, yeah, with your living brown.
I guess we can say that, huh? Saying it for a while.
I was watching a old Burt Reynolds movie the other day, Dan August. Never heard of it. It just popped up somewhere, and it was one of those terrible movies that you got to love.
The Halcyon Years, yes.
Yeah, they're awesome. I mean, absolutely.
And his hair is all square.
Oh, it is absolutely. Yeah, he's so, you know, everything, he's so shaved down, and, you know, everything's very unique. But I hate the music in those because it's all like the most crazy horns and jazz. It's all over the place. Yeah. But then after you go and listen to a lot of the soundtracks and stuff on newer things, you kind of have a longing for just the real music there. I mean, like how they would, you know, upbeat everything when you're running.
There were literally people watching every cut.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out which one the director was going to choose because they had to write a lyric or a phrase or an undertone for that particular thing.
Yeah, and the music, like, oh, now there's suspense. And then, and it was absolutely great stuff.
We got real spoiled. You've brought it up now. I don't talk about people who passed away, but I got to tell you, Ruth Buzzy passed away, and that era was hers, the era that he's talking about. But I saw a picture of her and the other women from Laugh-In, and Goldie Hawn and Joanne Worley. But behind Ruth Buzzy, when you see the picture of Ruth Buzzy and all of the Laugh-In women, there's a woman with short red hair. And her name was Judy Carn. She was Burt Reynolds' first wife.
Okay.
So that's why I'm bringing that to
well,
you, because
that.
I saw that yesterday and I thought,
Burt
I still Reynolds know fan. That woman's name.
Yeah, I'm a huge Burt Reynolds fan. And all the early roles, he's very serious. But this was more of a comedic.
Did you ever see him
serious.
On Gunsmoke?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's where he
exactly.
came from.
Yeah. Well, and we have Anna on. And
oh,
she,
good.
Oh, I'm sorry. She wanted to talk to you about ants.
Oh.
Anna's got the ants.
Uh-oh. What's going on, Anna?
Well, it seems to be a problem here in Oxford, because several of the women that I know have had the same problem. These very tiny little black ants, they're not fire ants or anything, and they form like a little dome, I guess you call it, or little projection above the soil, and it's all very fine. And if you go in there, they'll try to crawl all over you. And ants do bite, by the way.
Oh, yeah. They don't all sting, but they all bite.
Yeah. And so I researched it as much as I could and found out that they don't like coffee grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And they if you mix borax and sugar, powdered sugar, equal amounts, and put it on, they'll go somewhere else, which means they'll probably go to my neighbors or another part of the
just
lawn.
Run them but down the driveway.
Yeah. They happen to be at the end of my vegetable garden. I have a slab of concrete or one of those slabs, mm-hmm. and they seem to have gotten underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like a root from a tree coming towards my vegetable garden, and they're just along there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so far, I think I'm successful. But then my next-door neighbor says that she's got them. And then another master gardener says, what do you do with those little tiny ants?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've never had them before.
Have y'all
they're
been,
all over the park.
Have y'all been particularly...
So what happened
have
in the
y'all
winter
been particularly,
that they made them come out?
Okay, let me ask you a question. Has the winter been particularly wet?
Not really.
Okay. Well, we got extra. We had more rain in central Mississippi than usual in April. We also had.
Well, I guess you could say yes.
We also had warmer
yeah.
temperatures.
What
happens is they come out looking for somewhere that's dry. And that's one of the, you know, like when you get sugar ants in your house, it's almost always because it's been wet outside and they're just looking for a place. It's like when ladybugs come in the house. But they will do the same thing in the yard. You probably have seen when there'll be worms on the sidewalk, worms on the concrete.
Yeah.
And they're also trying to get away from being drowned. So the ants are, they're always there. They are an issue and they do, you know, they do have a job. But when they get in the way, for example, like at the end of the vegetable garden and everywhere else, you can easily do any of those things that you've talked about to dissuade them because they don't live very long and they'll be somewhere else pretty soon. They'll go to the neighbors.
If you need to step up,
to spinosad because that's going to be the natural control product that will.
I hate to use that sort of a killer.
Well, it's a natural one.
My vegetable garden, that is. So.
Well, it's a natural control product. It's not anything that's going to hurt anybody except the insects.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think we got somebody else that wants to weigh in on this. And so I will talk to you again. Thank you, Anna. What's going on, Lance? Who have we got? I'm sorry. I can't hear you.
We got Tommy. I was octopus in my hands.
I understand
that. We have Tommy in Water Valley, and he had a question for the Garden Mama.
Oh, okay. I thought he was going to tell us more about ants. Hey, Tommy.
Sure.
What's going on?
I've got a huge tulip plant bush. It's probably 10 or 12 feet tall. I don't know, but this spring it has got so heavy it's laying over in every direction. You know, it's 15 feet wide and it's just laying all down. I don't know if I need to prop it up or trim off something or just wait till another time of year to prop it until winter and trim it thin. I don't know.
Is it
just laying down everywhere?
Did it bloom before the leaves came on?
Pardon?
Did it bloom before the leaves came on?
It started blooming, then we had a little frost, and I think it killed the bloom. But this year, we didn't get to see a lot of bloom.
And so it just collapsed after that?
Yes, it did.
Okay, I'd prop it up, because what we're looking at is obviously something catastrophic. Could have been lightning, could have been overwhelming amount of a storm, you know, just a wind thing. But if you prop it up and it can make it, it will. If it can't, then you'll take care of it next fall. But I would go ahead and see if you can't get it to be okay this summer. They're beautiful trees.
They did trim it this winter?
Yeah, if necessary, yeah. Mm-hmm. But right now I would just prop it up and see if I can't get it to do some growing and get back into its regular position.
Okay, that sounds great.
All right, let me know how it goes, okay? Send a picture if you want mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thank you. Appreciate hearing from you. Talking about all of these things today, there's so much going on, and we will continue with texts and phone calls, and I don't know, I'll even pontificate about a few things. Today's International Drone Day. I just wanted to bring that to you.
Like drone, like the flying drone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't know if it's like a drone bee or something.
I don't know when Zambezi lilies come up, but I would have thought you would see them by now. Good morning from Paula. And trim it up and prop it on a gate with advice about the tulip tree. Not bad. If you can prop it up, it has a better chance than if it's laying down.
I'll say this. The irises were so heavy in the head, I had to prop up a nice little lawn chair type thing against them. A pretty one. It was a red, you know, plastic.
It's been very wet. But, they're very fleshy.
Yeah, and I've had so many blooms this year where I normally have two or three or four.
Mm-hmm.
It was 20.
There are advantages to both ends of that particular problem. Mm-hmm. It can be so good that you get flowers, but so bad that they fall over.
Is there a trick to creating a more dense stalk on an iris so that that happens?
Yeah, more phosphorus and potassium fertilizers.
Gotcha.
We're so high in nitrogen around this part of the world that and then we use worm castings and we use, you know, compost and all sorts of other things that have more nitrogen in them, and that's good. We get beautiful green plants. But what we need sometimes is a little bit less of those and a little bit more of the other things.
I had that problem once with zinnias, the tall giants. The heads were so beautiful and so tall. I had to wire them
but
up.
It was weak.
But again, that's going to be phosphorus and it is going to help
phosphorus,
you. Potassium, but less on
elements,
the nitrogen.
Less on the nitrogen. I found out that my copy of the album by these people is actually worth some money. I had no idea. It's a beautiful day. Can you imagine naming a band that? Well, they did. David LaFlamme. Any rate, stick around. We got texts coming in. We got so much happening. I'm happy to tell you. I'm going to tell you some more about ants, too. And by the way, it's World Naked Gardening Day. See you in a bit.
Steel deals are happening now. From instant savings on select tools to free battery offers on some of our most popular battery tool sets, you can enjoy great deals and do it all with Steel. Shop online or in store at your local Steel dealer. Offer valid for a limited time only at participating dealers while supplies last.
Hey there, homeowners. Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Johns Hopkins.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
You know, technology is such a wonderful thing, and yet sometimes I've answered this email twice, but apparently the person has not gotten the answer because they keep sending it back to me. And I appreciate it because I'm glad to know that it's not getting, something's not working. I lost one this week from you, Lance, but that's just, you know, that's technology. The world is just like it is.
No, and I may have not even sent it, so you never know. Hey, and before we go, I want to make sure if any listener heard the same thing, the Gulf South Conference, it sounded like they're playing at Choco Taco Park over in Alabama. I'd never heard of the Chocolaca or something. I was like, man.
I had no idea.
Yeah, no idea. That's I'm a big Choco Taco fan, though, so, you know, those. We get out of the little freezer at the.
I'm aware of them, but I've never. I can't say.
Oh my
I've
goodness!
Ever
I'm going to bring you one. Are you kidding?
Please
That's
don't.
A treat. Come on.
A summer treat. This is not particularly a sweet thing, but it is a morning thing. I've just discovered that there are people who eat cornbread waffles.
Really?
And I think I'm there. Because I really like cornbread a lot.
Love cornbread.
But it'd be so good for breakfast.
Man.
Anyway.
We had a good debate on the biscuit this week. I don't know. Do you have a certain jam or thing that you prefer on a biscuit? Because we had a great conversation, and I'd love our listeners, because these are folks that grow things and like homemade or either like a biscuit with some honey or whatever it may be, the good old chocolate gravy, or if it's just butter or sugar and butter, whatever it may be.
You're playing right into this, you know.
What
I want the – I want the biscuit and jelly competition.
Yes.
And I want to be the judge.
Well, I have a friend that has a biscuit company, and he and his wife have an amazing little setup. But
well,
I think we can parlay all this.
I feel like Mayhaw jelly is the best in the entire universe. But I can't. I've had some blueberry that I really don't want to miss, too. So there's a lot of good choices out there. The question goes down to AP flour or self-rising. I realize that there are people on both. That's another one where people really argue about stuff. But there are different ways of approaching that. I'm terrible at it. I appreciate it so much more than I can do it.
Yeah, the most we'll get into politics on this show is the politics of food, because it's kind of that way. There's gray matter everywhere.
Sure.
It's how you like it. And honestly, I really appreciate the input, because it is really insightful, first of all, and it's creative. And to hear some of the things that you guys come up with that I've never considered. And I had a mamaw and a papaw. They were farming food. They cooked everything. I mean, you could have squirrel dumplings and stuff. But some of the breakfast combos have been great. With what you would just put on a biscuit. I've really enjoyed that. So thank
you,
guys.
Well, there's some good choices.
Yes,
there's some good choices.
It's unlimited, it seems.
You probably have heard the Khalil Gibran poem,
oh, yeah.
A loaf of bread, a jug of wine, and thou beside me would be enough. And that's a whole love thing, right? Well, there's a certain group of people from my home state that think that if it just said biscuit, it would have been much more.
Biscuit.
Just a pan of biscuits, a jug of wine, you beside me. What else do I need?
Is there a more simple Southern food, I guess, more than a biscuit?
That's nothing more difficult to get people to agree about.
Yeah. I mean, there's 100 different types. But again, that's one of the things it seems that unites us all.
Yep.
Everybody's got a plant in the yard they love, and everybody likes biscuits.
I agree. I think that's very true. Good question. This person has planted Zambezi lilies. You may not know what those are, but we've been talking about the Easter lilies and the Asiatic lilies. This is a combination. This is a cross plant. It's going to be like 6 or 8 feet tall and have that white trumpet flower on it. But it's a big one. It's not the Formosa. It's a different lily. They should be sprouted by now anywhere in zone 7, 8, or 9. If you're in zone 7, if you're closer to Memphis, for example, maybe North Georgia, it's going to be a little bit later. You'll just be seeing them come up. But they should be up and growing, because they're going to bloom in the summer. Really beautiful plants, too. I like them. They're dense and very, very green. Chrissy from Goche has the Satsuma that's having a hard time recovering from a whole lot of tough time. Here's the deal. Chrissy, I'm going to tell you a story. When my dad passed away, he had spent the last 10 years of his life. He was quite old when he passed, but he had spent that time working in the yard, because he'd been ill, and he got well enough to work in the yard, and he was very happy about it, and that's what he did. And it concluded working on the camellias that were there and planting more. And as a result, after he passed away, I was so attached to them and had worked with him so much that I moved 22 camellia plants out of my parents' yard, which when I hear it now, I'm just crazy. But 18 of them survived. So I know how sentimental you feel about this particular Satsuma tree. I'm going to tell you what someone told me then, and which I did. I went and bought my two favorite varieties of Satsumas and put them in containers just in case none of this worked. So I'm going to tell you to get another Satsuma that you like just in case cutting this thing back does not rejuvenate it and doesn't help it work. Excuse me. You do need to cut it back. You need to start at the tops of the tips of the branches, scratch them. If they're not green underneath, cut it back. If it's green underneath, leave it be. And then let's see if we can't fertilize it and with some citrus food and give it a chance to start growing again. It may can recover. You may as well give it a try, because it's got enough green on it to think that it could. But the things that we do to try to save plants sometimes are pretty interesting. The end of that story is that I still have the two that I grew in pots, but the other 18 are in the garden of a house that I sold years and years ago now. So I do drive by and look at them every now and then, but they look lovely. But it's one of those things that I just had to do, so I did. And luckily I had a lot of friends and help to get that done at the time. But I think you can save this one, and if you can't, I'm going to tell you, go get another Satsuma and plant it right next to it right now. just in case. Then you'll have both. Ah, yes. That's beautiful. We're starting to see pictures from Peaches Patrick today at the museum. I think he's in the Retibida, but it might be the giant cone flowers. I can't really quite see. I don't know why I can't see all that. But anyway. Plant bricks. Well, we can talk about that. I'll read your text here in just a minute. We will get into it. There are a lot of things that everybody always wants to think about doing, and in this particular case, the question is about an area in the yard. This is the email that didn't get the response, just doesn't seem to be able to get there. The area is about 12 by 20. It has 3 to 4 hours of morning sun and shade after that. Is there grass that will grow there, or what would be a good low-growing ground cover to plant? What do you think? Now, Lance, you know what I say about growing grass in the shade.
Yeah, it's so possible.
Yeah. If you just spend your whole life.
Yeah, if you want to sit there and talk to it and work it.
And keep reseeding it and keep resodding it and keep doing it. Some people do that. They consider it a wonderful hobby and they enjoy it. But I'm going to tell you something. It's really rough. The less sun you have, the more likely you are to need to grow St. Augustine if you're going to grow a turf grass. Okay? Because it can grow in much less sun than zoysia or centipede or any of the rest of them. But 3 hours is really not enough for any turf grass. You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd, and you can't grow lawn grass in the shade. So the ground cover that you referenced is not something that I'm particularly familiar with. It probably would work, but I don't know enough about it to tell you that it would. I'm going to suggest that just you look around in your area and see what's growing in those areas, in your areas, because if you want one that's going to make a vining, like 3-inch thick, you know, cover in the same way that a lawn would, you're going to want something like Asiatic jasmine or another one of the evergreen ground covers that can be mowed. But if you are more interested in something that's walkable but might bloom, then you're going to want to go into the ajugas and some of those things that are, they'll be clumping, because the clumping ones are more likely to make a flower, unless you're growing jasmine or something, which is not necessarily going to bloom because you're going to have to cut it so often. So there are a whole lot of ground covers that can grow in this circumstance, whether you want one or whether you want a whole bunch of them. Generally speaking, in the shade, I like to look at beds that are filled with ground cover with paths between them and places to sit, because it's so nice to have somewhere to sit that's in the shade. And in a 12 by 20 area, you certainly got space for a little bit of a nook that would be a fun place to go and to land. The other thing that I said in the email that you didn't get was that when you look at what you're going to put into an area, you need to think about how it's going to be used. If it's going to be walked on all the time, your ground cover choices are going to be limited unless you put a path through there. On the other hand, if it's just something that you're going to look at, you've got a whole lot more choices that you can possibly make. You could even grow vinca, because it's not something you're going to try to, you know, vinca will grow around your ankles as you walk through it, so you don't actually want to use it in an area that needs to be controlled. Okay? I hope that helps. I hope that will help some. And I'll continue to try to send the email to you. Every now and then I get something from people that tells me that stuff's not happening, you know, that I've sent this to you 3 times. And when you've sent it again, sometimes I'll go over and try to send from a different email account. And then sometimes that one gets spammed out. So just be persistent. It's just email, and I'm happy to answer them. Grandma Birdie ate them. Dewberry jelly. I can't disagree with you, Ron. It's wonderful. Now, you're saying to yourself, what's a dewberry? What's a blackberry versus a dewberry? Blackberries, generally speaking, grow more upright and bloom and fruit a little bit later. Dewberries are earlier and tend to be a more sprawling type of plant. They have not been bred and worked on as much, I think, simply because they do not transport transport well. When you buy them, you need to really have them in that, you need to be about to use them, because they're not going to last very long off the plant. Blackberries have a slightly better lasting ability to get to the market and stuff. So that's, I think that's why we don't see as many dewberries. What is the ideal depth for centipede grass to be maintained? Oh, this is such a good question. We talk about things from low to high. Bermuda, you need to be half inch tall, 3/4 inch tall, which probably means you're going to mow it all the time. If you don't have anything else to do, go mow the Bermuda grass because it's going to need it. And then we work all the way to the other end of the spectrum at St. Augustine, which is 3 inches tall is fine. Some people let it get a little bit taller than that. In between those are centipede and zoysia. In my opinion, I'm going to let the centipede get to be 2 inches because if you don't, it's not as thick and not as pretty. Some people even go a little bit taller. I don't like to do that. I like to keep the zoysia about 1.5 to 2 inches. But I can let the centipede get a little bit taller because then it will get thicker, and then it will also be just a prettier color in my not-so-humble opinion. That is what I think. Centipede grass is one of those things that people are amazed by when they've never seen it. If you talk to people that come into a turf display, for example, and they're looking at all the different kinds, and they see the fescues, and they see the St. Aug, and they see the Bermudas, and this and that, and then all of a sudden, what is that stuff that's kind of yellow? Well, it's because it's not that it's yellow. It's quite green. It's just not as green as the others, and that's a natural situation. People who overfeed it and try to get it to look real, real green end up mowing as often as you mow the Bermuda because it'll grow too fast at that point. Fun stuff. Fun stuff.
Yeah, and so the rye that I had such great success with started to kind of yellow up a little bit.
I would hope so.
It's held on well.
That's what we expect, though.
What do I go to next, Garden Mama? What am I going to do?
For the summer?
Yeah.
That's really tough.
I know.
I'm going to send you to the co-op to get some carpet grass.
Okay.
It will sprout in a shadier space. It's not as dog tolerant as ryegrass, but it will sprout in the shadier space and give you a little bit of cover.
That's what I need. Until I can get back to the winter planting.
Yeah, some people put out alfalfa, but I don't think it does as well. You could put just about anything out there for the summer, but you need to have something that can tolerate those low light conditions.
And those hoofs.
When you grow an 8-foot dog.
Man, he's a beast. I'm telling you.
Beautiful, beautiful dwarf Buddleia picture this morning from Buds and Blooms. Just so lovely amethyst. I was talking about proven winners as something that I really hope y'all – when you go to look at shrubs, you don't necessarily have to buy proven winners, but I think you should always look and see what they've got because it's a good indication of where the breeding is on that particular plant. For example, dwarf butterfly bushes are pretty much their bailiwick. They're beautiful in big pots. They're lovely plants, and they're easy to control their height. Sometimes we have butterfly bushes. When you grow the traditional ones, they can get really large in a perennial bed, and they can be a little bullyish sometimes because they'll shade other things that you didn't intend for them to shade. So I think that's probably a good piece of advice for you. Let's see. What's Jeff doing in Grenada this morning? Jeff says he's fertilizing 2-year-old fig trees. When, how much, and what kind? If they are doing well, then you just need a complete fertilizer. If you haven't fertilized them this year, go ahead and fertilize them as you're picking. When you pick the figs would be the time to fertilize again. Ordinarily, we would feed right after pruning in the winter and then right after fruiting in the summer. Some people don't feed figs at all, just so you know. When they look nice and they're growing well, nobody cares. But to try and get them to grow a little bit, just a complete fertilizer is a wonderful, wonderful product to go for them. It could be something that you feed trees, shrubs, evergreens, as long as you're giving it something that's just going to boost it in every way, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, plus trace minerals. If you're doing if you have a product that is in a bag, it will give you a caliper rating. He says how much to use. That's going to be based on the caliper of the tree, and it will tell you that. I'm going to tell you, for instance, because I don't hardly measure anything. If the caliper of the tree is about 2 inches around, I might put a half a cup of fertilizer around it. But it depends on what fertilizer it is. So read your labels and get that information. That'll help. Can you grow watermelon? Ooh, yeah, in a big pot, sure. pick the watermelons that are smaller sized. I'm not going to consider. I'm not going to tell you to grow Charleston Gray in a container unless you have a container that's big as your car, because you would need it. But you can grow sugar babies and icebox melons and quite a few of those others in smaller spaces. Okay, that would be where that would work out very well. Don't forget now, I'm going to be in Tupelo. Y'all need to come and see me. I hope that everybody's getting ready for that. It's going to be a big, big time for me, and I know it will be for you, too. The Tupelo Farmers Market at the Depot is fun, fun, fun. I'm going to be there May the 17th in the morning doing the show on Front Street, North Front Street in downtown Tupelo. Y'all come see me. We're going to have fun. All right, now, we'll let these fellas get us out of here on the sunny side.
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from 3 licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Can't go a Saturday without some Balfa Brothers.
Got to have a little bit of that lovely music.
I had to do some research the other day, and I went deep off of the Balfa. That was fun.
You were off in there.
Man, that was good stuff, dude. Oh, goodness. I can't even tell you. You just need to get Dewey Balfa.
You were listening to people older than me.
Oh, my goodness.
You put it that way. Been dead longer than I've been alive in some cases. This is a great thing. We love YouTube. I can't help it. I'm not promoting YouTube, but they got all the music that we wanted to listen to. So it's really fun stuff. I have to try and remember what all you put forward
goodness.
Up there.
I'm sorry. I was answering the phone. I didn't want to.
I understand.
But, yeah, with Dewey Balfa and then all of those that – was it the I-N-E – is the guy's last name Antoine? I can't remember.
Just a minute.
But if you just do a little Dewey Balfa digging and who all he played with, if y'all enjoy that, the Balfa Brothers music.
Yeah, Nathan Abshire.
Abshire, thank you. Golly, I mean, how much fun just listening to him talk.
I'm telling you, he was old when I was young.
Oh, man, I mean, he's a legend, too. And I learned so much. I mean, that's what I love about this.
Now you have to jump over into people in my world, the people who brought Cajun music back to the bigger world, Bo Salil.
Yes.
And those guys are legendary now because it's been, but well, the thing of it is, it's like the Carolina chocolate drops, okay? Uh-huh. Rhiannon Giddens has gone on, you know, they do the tune that we play around here about cornbread and butter beans.
Mm-hmm.
It's way back. But they brought all of that music to the fore, and then, of course, they've all gone off on their own and done other things. But they were together for a banjo festival a couple of weeks back now that I literally would have gotten into a car and driven to the middle of nowhere to go and see because they're so good, and I'm so glad that the music is available because there's lots of people like me that can't travel.
Well, and it's kind of like a plant sale.
It's the sort of thing. You've got to get it when it's there.
You got to. And the blends, too. You go in, you look at a band or an outfit like the Texas Tornadoes who take the mariachi and the Cajun music and mix this amazing blend.
Shuffle the deck.
And you're like, what is going on here? So it's kind of like getting that cross-plant plant sure. that's so beautiful sure. that you didn't know you could pull it off or you didn't know it existed.
Well,
when you
and until so many people moved into Texas after Katrina, that music was not as available.
Yeah, well, and it and, just died and, out a bit.
And
yeah.
it has all come back.
Well, we
to
have
the fore.
Peaches Heated Pool Patrick on site, on location, ready
Holy
to
moly,
roll.
What's
Holy
going on?
Moly, Peaches.
Welcome in, Mark.
Hey,
what's
good
up?
Morning. Yeah, holy peaches is right. Wow. It is beautiful down here.
Where are you?
Yeah, where is this?
I'm at the Mississippi Museum of Art Native Plant Sale, and I've got Holiday Morrison
Wonderful.
In the truck with me.
Wonderful.
Ready to tell y'all all about the sale and
That's
the garden.
Great.
And
this is an event, y'all, of the Garden Club of Jackson. If you've never been to the garden at the museum, the next time you're anywhere near Jackson or make a special trip, go see this garden. It is beautiful. Good morning, Holiday.
Hey, Nellie. I'm so happy to be here to promote the gardens. Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Yeah, you know what? Right in the middle of downtown Jackson, surrounded by concrete, and yet there's just this little oasis of green and flowers and beauty. I don't know if you knew this, Nellie, but we are the second largest, we have the second largest native plant display in the state behind Crosby Arboretum. And so Crosby Arboretum is amazing, but they're all yes. the way down in Picayune. Yes. We're just right here. And so if you're ever wondering what a native plant looks like, y'all come on down. I've got them marked. And we're the art garden, which has our native plant display, is about 15 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
We're just rocking and rolling. We've got 66 different individuals' trays that are all together that Robert Poor and Ed Blake designed. And so it's a fabulous display. And if you ever wanted to know, what does that plant look like when
mm-hmm,
it gets bigger
mm-hmm.
or when it's established, come on down.
And
you
of
can
course,
see right
that,
here.
That is one of the things that we have always said is that native plants don't get used so much because they're not necessarily instantly beautiful the day that they come from the grower. You know, it's a garden, it's
sure.
a plant that's going to be there for years and years and years. So it's oftentimes one that's going to look prettier the second year than the first. I think about Robert Poor, but I think about Robert Poor Phlox, which is named for Robert Poor, in case y'all didn't know. It's one of those plants that's lovely and green the first year and has a little flower on it. The next year, it will absolutely light up your yard. So there are a lot of things like that.
Socks
you know,
off
just
that
truly.
Pink. Yeah, just yeah. beautiful.
As my mother would say, pank.
Nellie, here's a little something you may not know. You and Holiday have one other thing in common.
What's that?
Holiday dropped by my yard on State Street, and we sat out on the porch and talked flowers. Over a decade ago.
I was going to say, just a couple of months ago.
Yep. It was a minute ago,
yeah, a
just a minute ago.
But look, this garden, you know, the thing about it is it's not just scattered natives. They're in mass.
Mm-hmm. That's
you
right.
You can
That's
see
right.
what they look
it's
like.
It's planted beautifully, and
it's
not hard to imagine them in your own garden either because they're planted intensely
no.
in a way that gives you an idea.
And if you're 5 foot four, the garden, I have the picture up. Yeah, the garden's taller than Peaches, Patrick, so they've They didn't put too much nitrogen in this soil, apparently.
No, is that giant yellow cone flower that we're looking at? He's making fun
hey, well,
of giant.
Give that guy a booster chair.
So pretty, so pretty. giant yellow cone
Let's
flower, I think. Is that what we looked at? Yeah, that's what we were looking at.
We have that, the hula dancer, because the petals, the pink petals kind of fall down from the flower stem.
So pretty.
And it looks like a little hula dancer skirt.
Love that. Love that.
Right.
Well, how long will y'all be there today
yeah.
with this plant sale?
We'll be here until noon.
Okay.
And we still have some plants available. We got hit pretty hard first thing, but we still got some great plants. We've got some wonderful river oats that does well in
shade,
dark shade.
Mm-hmm,
it
mm-hmm.
can take sun. It's just, I don't know, all these plants. Nellie, as you know, why native plants are so popular right now is all they are plants that were here before we were.
Yes.
And so they don't need our help to grow if they have the right place.
That's right.
And
that's right.
They're just going to rock and roll without us. However, they do need some help. You have to help them get established.
Exactly.
Like some things are drought tolerant. Well, they still have to get established.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so they're just, you don't have to use as many fertilizers, insecticides, all that stuff, just because they don't really need our help.
Well, and that's the kind of information, of course, that y'all provide for people so that you can kind of boost their confidence if they haven't grown these plants before. So I love that.
That's true. And, Nellie, also, I did these little cards for each plant that you buy, and it tells what their name is, their Latin name, if they, you know, what kind of light they want, what kind of soil they want, how tall they're going to get, how wide they're going to get, just a little info, because for the person who doesn't know, like you said, with native plants, they might not look like anything in the pot, so I want to have a picture there for
you,
you know, like with it, you know, in full bloom, so that people can really get an idea of what this thing might look like, and then they can take that home and Google it or whatnot. So, yeah, we do have all that information available.
That's wonderful. That the educational aspect of the work that you do, Holiday, in both with the museum and, of course, with the Garden Club of Jackson, is really building the next generation of plant growers who begin to understand that there's, you know, not no offense to zinnias, but there's more than zinnias.
Careful.
No offense. I love a zinnia. I love a zinnia, but there are more than that. So it's good, and there's that, and it's actually true.
We have a lot of comments.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, Nellie. No, we've had so many comments on our poppies. I've got some Gatterman poppies.
Good,
I've got some Oriental and some Heritage Farm poppies, and everybody, where are those? I'm like, well, they're not native, but aren't they beautiful? So
well, and
we're never talking about
we
only
like,
doing native.
We like a few well-behaved imports. I consider
That's
myself
right.
a well-behaved,
Very
well-behaved
import. Yeah.
It helps.
And
it really
I just
does.
Sent you a photo of those poppies.
How marvelous.
My gosh.
Those are the Heritage Farm poppies.
Love
and
it.
I got the seeds from Seed Savers. So they're real heirloom.
The Seed Saver folks have done a wonderful job of making sure that we don't lose as many plants as we used to. You know, if your grandma has a drawer full of seeds of something that you love, by all means, grow them and then save them with Seed Savers, because they do. They're literally like the vault, you know, of seeds from all around
they
our
really
country.
Are.
Mm-hmm. They're wonderful. Well, this is great, y'all. I look forward to seeing you. I'm going to get down there this morning. I think it's not raining, and I have, you know, gas in my car, so I'll be down after the program. Thank you all for coming on and letting people know about this plant sale.
And here's the other good news. It is 69 degrees.
I know, it's beautiful, isn't it? It's lovely in central Mississippi.
It is.
I got to tell you, we talked about the other plant sales going on in the area, and I'm just hoping that everybody goes and buys out everything. You're looking towards Mother's Day. You're looking towards your summer garden, and this is the time, really, to jump in and buy some plants. So y'all go learn something.
Oh, yeah.
Learn something and
so
buy
much,
some
Nellie.
Plants. Thank you. Y'all have a wonderful day. Appreciate you. All right, now moving on. We got y'all are great. There's so many things between the attachments and the images and the one thing and another.
I'm burning up a mouse over here.
I
keeping
mean, look
up with
now.
Our listeners and our
that's marvelous.
Today.
Those are so pretty.
Those are the I think these are the poppies you were they were referencing a moment ago.
So pretty. Just lovely. Y'all have got so many things going on. When we talk about growing poppies, this is when we see them. We plant them in the fall. So you're not late. You're actually early. If you see them and you go, oh, I have to have those. Well, that's good. Get your seeds and get ready, because we plant poppies in the fall in this part of the world. Lance, you may not have heard of this. But I hope it's something you need to know. I wish I knew more about it, because I would tell you more about it, but I don't. A mathematician has solved algebra's oldest problem. I have this vision of someone standing at a board turning gray, you know, over the years.
Like, they attempt to do this. I figured it out finally.
It's an algebraic solution to things that were once believed impossible to solve. I've never known a mathematician that would admit that something was impossible, but you know, this one is all about higher polynomial equations, which is the only thing I know about that is that it's when x is greater than 5. So I don't know anything about this. But the fact that they have found a solution finally, it's not a Far Side cartoon with the guy and all of the chalk all over the board. This person has actually done this. So that's huge. I'm sure there'll be prizes and all sorts of things involved. But how do you work your whole life on one problem? And it's
that's,
been several lifetimes on this one problem.
Can you imagine the patience that I don't have
right, yeah.
to do that? And I found that
I can watch a seed. I wait 2 weeks for it to sprout.
I can watch a seed
I can do that.
All the way, and you know, a year, You go, okay, 2 years, the plant looks good. 3 years, a lifetime solving an equation. I can only imagine the amount of headbutting the chalkboard at times. You were like, I thought I had this.
Yeah, I'm the third teaching assistant now to work on this, and four professors. And finally, they come up with something, and now they'll argue about that for another 10 years.
It's like a family legacy, too. Like, well, your grandfather couldn't.
Sure, couldn't solve this.
Your father went into the business. He couldn't solve
it. That's up there with strawberry breeding. Uh-huh. I worked in the strawberry breeding program in college, and I was not surprised, but it's still interesting to hear someone who was practically bald-headed and at least, you know, been there a long time, 20 years by that time, say to me, I don't expect to see any of these in my lifetime on the market.
Mm.
Okay? It's like waiting to be able to hang a swing in a tree. It depends on when you planted the tree.
Right.
And that patience is okay, but I don't have as much of it as I probably should.
What is the key to why, was it Tangipahoa Parish is such a strawberry mecca? It doesn't seem like the climate would change much across the river or over into the Mississippi, but why is that area?
Their soil is just slightly sandier.
A little sandier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And their conditions are a little bit milder. That's why bell peppers and strawberries are their bread and butter, literally. I mean, it's just wonderful area for growing both of those.
And I've always loved when you're stopping through there during the strawberry festival times and getting a couple of cases of those things and eating every one of them before you get home. It's like, oh, that's what this is all about.
You know, then that's exactly what we do. When the blueberries roll in here, that's what people from all over the South come
to Mississippi. Everybody starts handing them to people.
Come to Mississippi for our blueberries.
I got so many blueberries, I don't know what to do with them. Please.
Well, come here. I got some ideas. We'll give them to your mama.
Yeah.
So everybody will
she'll drop them in her in everything.
Everything. Here's a factoid that is so obvious that I just had to bring it to but I did not know that there was a University of the Basque Country. So this is obviously in Spain.
Yeah.
Researchers there have explored how kids actually improve reading and writing. And since we talk so much about those scores and one thing and another here, I know there are some teachers and some classes and some systems here that do this, and I just wanted to say it's a good thing to do. The researchers are exploring how both manual writing and keyboard practices influence children's abilities, and what they found out with five-year-olds was that they could actually do better if we had both going on. The conclusion was that if they have pencil and paper, you learn new letters faster and new words faster. You got to have both, my friends. It takes cursive and printing. It takes writing. It takes typing. If you want to really be that wordsmith, which we're celebrating today, not to mention a naked gardener, this is the time to think about it. And Van's going to sing us out. So I got to shut up now. We will be right back.
Visit mspropane.com to learn more about propane as a safe, reliable fuel. Learn more about grilling safety, installation safety, general safety, and just how efficient propane gas is. Visit mspropane.com for more information. Energy for everyone. Propane. That's mspropane.com.
We have one voice. The voice of agriculture. We have one job, growing the products you need every day. We have one mission, fighting for agriculture and rural Mississippi. We have you in mind, caring for your private property rights. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
Are the trees in trouble?
Love a good love song.
Hey, well, and that reason I wanted to play that one was because I had a funny conversation with my mother yesterday. She's been so busy that I said, hey, you know, Mother's Day's coming up. She goes, really, is it? When is that again? And I thought, I was like, maybe it's this weekend, maybe it's next. I don't know. I got to look. So,
what do you want to do?
reminding everyone, Mother's Day's on the 11th. It's right around the corner. So all these plant sales and all this stuff going on that we have Mark Peaches Patrick out doing the heated pool thing. You know, he can run around and be seen in politic and show you where all the good stuff is. Don't forget about Mama coming up.
Seriously.
This coming Saturday. So just a little helpful info.
One week from tomorrow.
Yeah, so if you're one of those busy mothers out there and you don't really remember what day it is, it's Saturday. And the husband or the kids, if you're listening, it is this coming Saturday. Don't forget about Mama.
Yes.
Even if she's forgotten, don't forget about her.
We celebrate nowadays. It used to be that you wore a different color flower depending on whether your mama was present or whether she had gone to heaven, and now it's more like you dress up if you're going to brunch, you dress down if you're going to a cookout in the backyard. So
what do you do when you go to a catfish buffet in Florence? Can you go in the middle?
I think you can go straight down the middle with that one.
I think that's going to be our
That's a very excellent choice.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We did that about a month ago or a few weeks ago, and we were blown away. We've hit both the big ones on 49, Jerry's and Barry's. And it's hard to choose which one you want, but when you want a buffet, I'm telling you, when you got that all-you-can-eat eyes and you know, they're just wide open.
Y'all would be having a good time.
Let me tell you,
it was fun. That's fun. I have a bunch of Mother's Day stories because I've had a lot of Mother's Days, I'm happy to say. But one of my favorites involves my mother. When I was a graduate student in horticulture, I grew a beautiful basket of petunias. Dr. Claude Blackwell was researching petunia varieties in those years. So we grew a lot of petunias in the greenhouses to see which ones grew faster, which ones grew at the same rate, which ones filled a basket, which ones, you know, all these different qualities that you have to check out. And I had grown these, her favorite thing in the world was purple anything. So I grew purple cascade petunias in this beautiful basket that I built myself. Crafted out of sphagnum moss, made the soil, made the basket, made the flowers, took it to her in full bloom. I was so proud of myself. Well, it's also the time that you pick the first green beans, and you oftentimes can dig the new potatoes right there around that time. Just depends on the year, but that year I had all three of those things, so I really thought I was the best, you know. Oh, we enjoyed the beans and the new potatoes. They were so proud of me. A couple of weeks later, Mother said, I called her up. Hi, Mother, how's those petunias doing? She said, well, the house wrens really like them. She had hung it on the porch, and the birds had immediately built a nest in it, which meant that she couldn't water it, which meant that by the time I got there again in the summer at my birthday, there was house wrens and no petunias left. But apparently I made an excellent birdhouse. So,
hey, unintended consequences and benefits.
But they appreciated it and they enjoyed it. Bobby from Monticello is singing my song. Possum grape jelly is by far the best.
That's
it's hard to find enough fruit. I've got those bushes in my backyard. They're
possum grapes? What is that exactly?
Yep. Well, I don't know.
Okay.
But I have them because a wonderful person, Mr. Joe from Starkville, brought me the plants and told me that they're rare and not enough people grow them, and his family wasn't particularly interested, or not all of them, so he wanted to be sure he was sharing them around so that they ended up in lots of places. And the ones I have done okay, but it's really hot in my back garden, so they're going to go a little bit further north from me to get transplanted. But it's a delightful grape. It's just one of the things you got to cook so many of them. Mm-hmm. It makes small berries.
Are they little green grapes, or do they ever turn?
They turn dark purplish red. But the thing of it is that they're not like muscadines. They're more like a cluster grape.
Okay.
They have a different habit, and they're just a different. It's like huckleberries. We never talk about huckleberries.
Well,
they're
talks
native
about persimmons
here. We don't talk about persimmons as much as we should, even though they're native here and we love them. So,
some wine made off of all of those things.
At one time or another.
Yeah, I have some friends up there.
Somebody came to share with you.
No,
so
I have some friends in North Mississippi that love making different things off of native plants and And sure. It was always enjoyable.
Well, and one of the first places that I knew of anybody who grew hops was Oxford. Mm-hmm. People were doing that, but maybe 20 years ago, they were starting to do all that to make beers and whatnot, and home brewing and all those kinds of things. So it's an interesting process. I don't even know what to tell you, except it's fun. And somebody had just sent me a note and asked me about what else can I plant besides zinnias.
You're thinking
really,
like me.
It's a really good question. And I just, lucky for you, it's on the top of my list today for things that I might talk about if anybody asked. We think about celosia and we think about amaranth, which is love lies bleeding, and the plume celosias, or the ones that make a brain looking flower. Those are all things that grow beautifully in the deep south from now through the summer. Okay. But there's also sunflowers, and no, they're not all 8 feet tall. Sunflowers, oftentimes, depending on the variety, they can be a bush shape, like, 4 feet tall and covered in flowers, or they can be good old one big flower, bigger than your head, that's on a 7 foot tall plant. So know what variety you're getting, but yes, you can plant sunflowers every other week or so through this time frame too, and have lots and lots of flowers because they're really beautiful. I want to encourage you that if you like the smell of it, cleomes or spider flowers make a wonderful cut flower, unless you don't like the smell. They are kind of sticky, and they make a really good plant in an arrangement, unless you don't happen to like the way they smell. Same is true of marigolds, but this is not the little French marigold that's so cute. These are the big tall ones. Aztec, Inca, there's some good ones. African marigolds is another name for them. So those are some of my choices that I really like. I really like sulfur cosmos. It's usually sold as bright lights. It's going to be an orange flower that's just hardy as can be. But it's another one that you can just plant over and over and over through this time of year and give yourself the opportunity to enjoy it and appreciate them and have a mixed bouquet in your own yard. You want to get a little bit more exotic. Ami is one that looks like a small Queen Anne's lace. It's not Queen Anne's lace, but it's easier. It's not as aggressive as Queen Anne's lace will be in your garden. So it's something else people like to use. Okay. Something else. And by the way, if you grow zinnias, please don't forget cactus zinnias, because they're so pretty. they're so pretty.
A cactus zinnia?
Mm-hmm. The one they have, where a zinnia has the flower that you associate in your mind with it, there are others that have a more spiky flower, but they have just as many petals. Uh-huh. So they're big flat things, look like stars. They're really pretty. Jeff in Grenada says, I love possum grapes. Been trying to find information on how to propagate limited stuff. I don't know anything about them except that I have these plants.
And you're willing to share.
I'm willing to share.
If you can hop in the car and come on down.
We can figure this out.
That's what I love about gardeners. And I had such great people. When you live 20 years somewhere, especially like a place like Oxford, where people really take a great deal of pride in growing tulips and flowers and sharing. I had such a beautiful yard.
Get to learn such great stuff.
And the people were so awesome. I mean, they would say, hey, do you want this? Are you kidding me? Of course. Well, come over and help me dig it up.
Let's go
plant it in my yard. And they'd give you the tips and tutorial on how to do it and how to make it grow and how to make it propagate. And I just was so grateful.
Two bankers were talking. One of them was retired and had a yacht, and the other one's retired and had a garden center. And the one said, well, what do you do? He said, gardeners don't cheat. Gardeners don't steal. I just get up every morning and count my money. So there you have it. It's springtime. Go be a gardener, my friends. Next week, Mark Patrick will be here. The week after that, I'll be in Tupelo. See you then.
Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from 3 licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
Do you have 10,000?
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.